Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and IceFill technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. And by Johnny O. East Coast traditional meets West Coast casual. The best of both worlds apparel for men and boys. Visit www.johnny-o.com to learn more. Joining me now, Scott Michaud, the senior golf writer for Global Golf Post, and he also writes for the Irish Times. And he got back from a golf trip to Ireland that I was also on late last night. So, Scott, thank you so much for getting up early.
Yeah, I rolled in about 2 a.m. last night, this morning. So it's been a short night, but hey, I'm back on Irish time.
I know. It's good to have all this energy in the morning being, you know, on Irish time, which is 5 hours, later than what we have here. But it was such a wonderful golf trip to Ireland and Northern Ireland, you know, playing both links courses and parkland courses. While it's fresh in your mind, what were the highlights for your trip, Scott?
Well, I'm always a fan of the links courses. They always stand out in my mind. And Port Stewart, which we played, the last links we played, is one of the world's best, and I've always loved it and played it before. But the one that really stood out was the Northwest course that you and I played on together. And it was just terrific. It's one of those things that you stumble upon and you don't expect anything from, and it turns out to be spectacular. And so I really loved that whole vibe at that club, the members, the course, the view, everything about it. And then, of course, we played the brand new one at St. Patrick's at Rosapenna, which is already landed in the world's top 100 and is absolutely spectacular piece of property. And it's really unbelievable.
Absolutely. You know, I love links courses. To me, they're so inspiring, and I normally play better. But my best round from the week was on the parkland beauty at Slieve Russell. It was the first day we were there, you know, so no sleep. You get off the plane, go right to play golf. I shot an 82, and it was 88 degrees, which was certainly one of the hottest days on record in Ireland, right, Scott? I mean, I couldn't believe how hot it was.
It was. You would have thought the world was ending when you talked to the locals there, and I thought, this is just another day in Georgia. So it really is an amazing mindset when you're there. But I couldn't believe I was playing golf in Ireland when it was nearly 90. And that was a beautiful golf course.
Oh, my God. It was just so gorgeous with all the flowers. And just, you know, just when you think you've found the most beautiful golf course in Ireland, you just drive maybe 20 minutes down the road and there's another incredible view and golf course. And I enjoyed Northwest as well. They were just so hospitable there. And it was just the classic links layout. Port Stewart in Northern Ireland, the views, you kept saying, because you had played it before and I had never played Port Stewart, and you kept saying, Anne, wait till you see the views from the first tee box. You see the, you know, the coastline and then the Atlantic Ocean and then the high meandering dunes. I mean, it was just spectacular.
Yeah, I've always said the view from the first tee, it's Port Stewart, is only exceeded by the view from the second. It really is. That front nine is as good as any links you'll ever play. And that dune you hit straight at off the first tee is the second largest dune apparently in Ireland and the only one on a golf course. So it was really stunning.
And we had a great match there. And, of course, the spa at Galgorm Castle, which we need to get back to. It has indoor pool. It has the best indoor pool in Ireland. I've experienced a lot of I love to swim. So I love, you know, swimming in those indoor pools there. And that was pretty spectacular. But there was a lot of news, shifting gears here a little bit, Scott, regarding LIV Golf while we were away. And Henrik Stenson made it sound like, you know, LIV Golf was ready to work it out so that he could do both, play LIV Golf events and captain the European Ryder Cup team, but the powers that be running the Ryder Cup said, absolutely not. So what are your thoughts about Henrik Stenson kind of bolting to LIV Golf?
Well, I wasn't surprised simply because his name had come up originally when the whole LIV Golf concept was talked about. You know, he was one of the first names that everybody talked about. So when he signed to be the Ryder Cup captain, you know, part of that agreement was that he would not join LIV Golf. It was written in the agreement with him. So I don't know what he's so surprised about there. You know, I thought, okay, well, he's at least going to delay going to play LIV until after he's a Ryder Cup captain in 2023 in Italy. But, you know, the money is very enticing. It's really hard for some of these guys, especially guys who are on the decline in their competitive career, like Henrik, to say no to.
Absolutely. And you have both the PGA Tour and the European Tour holding firm on really banning players who go to the Saudi-funded LIV Golf Tour. So do you think there will ever be a meeting of the minds, perhaps a partnership between the two?
I hope that something gets worked out eventually, but I don't think that will ever happen as long as Greg Norman is running the LIV outfit. I just don't think he's a person that can be negotiated with, and that the tours are willing to negotiate with him. It's become something personal for him, and also in return, something personal for the tours against him. But I would like to see them work something out and utilize, you know, the what used to be called the silly season, for these guys to have the opportunity to play in these big money events, but not take away from what we've come to know as a traditional tour, because what I don't like about the LIV events are they're kind of 54-hole exhibitions. There's just no real value in the competition as there is in just a normal PGA Tour or DP World Tour event.
Well, I agree. I just don't think at this point either side wants to compromise and work together. And I can't imagine how they would, as you know, because the formats are so different. And, you know, PGA Tour has been the face of golf. The Saudis have unlimited funds, and I really feel that they want to own and run all of golf. And I think they look like they're intent on almost destroying the PGA Tour. That's the feeling I'm getting.
Yeah, that is a very good way of saying it. And I just don't know right now what the answer is, but I do hope that smarter minds figure something out, because it really is damaging golf. This is, you know, it's splitting it in two. And I can't stand that.
I know you've covered the Masters, what, every year for how many years?
Since 97, since Tiger's first win. So
wow.
It's 25.
Wow. So with your experience covering the Masters, how do you think they will proceed regarding letting these, you know, the former Masters champs who are now playing with LIV Golf play in the Masters next April? What's your gut feeling?
My gut feeling is that they won't ban players. I don't think they want to tell, you know, right now five or maybe six at this point, you know, past Masters champions that they can't come to Augusta and they can't have their lifetime exemption and they can't attend the Champions Dinner. I think it diminishes the brand of the Masters. When you start doing that, it diminishes the value of that victory, which really is something that every player aspires to, and it's something that makes the event unique. And so I don't think they'll do that, but I do think they'll tweak their qualification standards so that there is a more emphasis put on PGA Tour and DP World Tour and maybe some other World Tour, their traditional tours. So maybe you invite the Order of Merit winners of the Japan and the Australasian and the South African tours. And maybe you start allowing 10 to 15 DP World Tour top race to buy leaders like you do the FedEx Cup leaders. And maybe you still have a top 50 emphasis, but maybe you only have one deadline instead of two. And you move it later in the year till after the Players' Championship. And so that it puts more emphasis on the early PGA Tour season success. And there's also the Players' Championship. It could be treated like a major in their eyes and give them a five-year exemption for the winner, and top four finishers get a spot, just like you do the U.S. Open, Open Championship, and PGA Championship. So I think there's ways that they can tweak their qualifications to make it harder for someone on LIV to get in and reward the traditional tours.
Absolutely. All great points, Scott. And I know you were at the Open Championship at St. Andrews. And, you know, interesting, Tiger in his press conference put kind of the bug in people's ears saying that it could be a possibility that some of these players, you know, would never be able to play a major championship. What did you think of Tiger's comments?
I thought it was great to hear Tiger really speak out on something like that, because Tiger's always been very reserved. You know, he's been kind of like Michael Jordan, you know. Both parties buy shoes, Tiger Woods. He hasn't always wanted to jump off into the deep end on subjects like this. So I thought he's an important voice now in golf. He, you know, his successes get diminished if the tours get diminished. And so I think he's a great voice to have on that. And I think he's right about some of these guys. You know, maybe a guy like Taylor Gooch, who's young and hasn't won a major championship and hasn't had all those experiences that some of the older guys who've jumped to LIV have, you know, he might be finding himself on the outside looking in. And a lot of these young guys, some young amateurs that they're trying to coax directly onto that tour, well, they might never find themselves in the Masters. So, there's something said to that. I think Tiger knows probably a little bit, too, that maybe these other governing bodies, are going to try something to make it harder for people who are not on traditional tours to get into their majors.
I know you're a golf insider, and have you heard anything more about the rumors about Open champion Cam Smith? Do you think he'll join LIV Golf?
Well, I haven't heard any more on that. But, you know, that's concerning, because now he does have that way into the other majors as of now as a champion. So he's got 5 years exemption at least into some of them. He's got till he's 60 years old into the Open Championship based on their current qualifications. So now he has the freedom to possibly do something like that. I would hate to see guys using winning majors as a launching point to join LIV. That would be very troubling. And I do hope Cam sticks around, because that would be a major loss to the tours.
I think so too. I just so enjoy watching him. He's such an, when he is on, there's no better putter out there. He just
there's
put on a
no better short
clinic.
Game in the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh
the
my
whole
God.
Thing, that shot he made on 17, the creativity it took, the guts it took, to win an Open Championship with a shot like that. I mean, I'm not sure anybody else makes that.
And Rory McIlroy was so close. He played so well, you know, trying to win his first major title since 2014. How do you think this loss, Scott, will affect his psyche? I know he has to be tremendously disappointed. He was just so close, and he played so well.
Exactly. The thing that's got to hurt him is, you know, he didn't really do anything wrong, but as you said, he also didn't really do anything right on Sunday either. He made 36 putts. He hit every green in regulation. He's the first first guy to lead a major through 54 holes and hit every green in regulation in the final round and not win. He has to be a little bit in shell shock at what happened to him. And maybe he was playing with a little tunnel vision, you know, watching Victor Hovland struggle beside him and thinking, you know what, I've got enough cushion on these other guys. Some birdies will fall. And then when he didn't birdie those holes that you expect to birdie, you know, Cam went racing by, you know, like a bullet. It had to be a little bit shocking to him. But I hope that what he realizes is he really did play great golf all week long and just got beat by someone, you know, who pulled a Jack Nicklaus in the final round and shot 30 on the back and 64 on Sunday. Sometimes
Scott,
you just have to tip your hat.
Always a pleasure to catch up. It was short and sweet here. We got to run. But, boy, how much fun it was to really get to know you on this golf trip and play some golf with you and experience Ireland with you and the other, you know, media group. Really appreciate you coming on so early for us this morning.
It was a blast, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool.
stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com and by Johnny O. East Coast traditional meets West Coast casual. The best of both worlds apparel for men and boys. Visit www.johnny-o.com to learn more.